Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Oh no, not another series on the Bible. That would have been, those would have been the sort of words that would have come out of my mouth probably not too that long ago, actually, had the vicar or the rector stood up and said, "We're doing a new series on the Bible." They would have been, "Oh, really? Haven't we done that before?" But actually, as an Anglican church, yes, we are an Anglican church, as a Church of England church, we shouldn't really be surprised that someone like me says we should do a series on what the Bible is. Canon law. I'm quoting canon law in a sermon. Can someone tell the bishop I'm quoting canon law? Canon law, which are the rules that the Church of England live by, says this. It says, "The doctrine of the Church of England is grounded in the Holy Scriptures." So before we even start, the very doctrine, the very foundations of who we are, say that the Bible is important and has authority. And then you get the 39 articles, and the article number 6, again, the articles are part of the law of the Church of England. Article 6 says this, it says, "Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary to salvation. In the name of the Holy Scriptures, we understand these canonical books, both the Old and the New Testament, of whose authority was never in any doubt within the church." So I've got one question then. Why would my result, the result of me hearing a few years ago that we were studying the Bible, why would that have been so negative? Why would I have gone, "Really? We're doing that?" Well, I may be wrong, but I think it's because we have made this book a textbook. Now, those textbooks, I know some of you are academic, but those textbooks I used to hate in school and scrawl in the back of, you know, funny little sayings. So the next person who got it had to suffer that. But we really have made what is supposed to be a joyous foundation of our life into a textbook. It's a foundational story for us. I don't want you to think Disney movies. Matthew and I were watching 2 Disney movies last night. Where's the godparents? You do have to suffer in your role. But not that sort of story. Not the sort of story where actually it's fictional, but there might be one or two good truths in there. When I say story, I want you to think of gathering around the dinner table, or gathering around the campfire, when one of the relatives tells a story that you've heard 100 times before. It's got truth, literal truth in it. It's what happened. But also it's got life-giving truth in it. It tells you how to live life. The story of what it means to be human. Actually, for centuries, the Bible and scriptures were told in that way, weren't they? They were shared down the family line, around the campfire, in the synagogue. They were spoken out loud. We hear of Jesus speaking them out loud as well. They would have been really exciting. Can you imagine a church just after Jesus has risen, perhaps 30 years later, maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 years later, receiving a letter from St. Paul? They would have all got excited about this letter. They would have all run to the church building, wherever that was. And they would have all been wondering, what was this going to add to their story? And yet somehow we've taken this excitement and actually made reading the Bible just simply a duty. I want to say, may God forgive us. It's more than that. It's foundational to who we are. Which is why that would have been a weird reaction for me to say, really, why another series? But I wonder what you felt when you heard me say we're going to do a series on the Bible. I wonder, were you cautious? Maybe you thought, what is Max going to say about the Bible? Is he going to say something I don't agree with? Maybe. Were you keen? I know I've seen a couple of faces light up when I said about the Bible. Were you keen? It's like, yes, at last, we're doing a series on the Bible. Should have been done years ago. I'm surprised it's taken him this long. Or perhaps, like I would have been, and maybe the majority of us, were a little overwhelmed. A little overwhelmed, because actually we know the Bible's important. We want to understand the bigger story of the Bible, but we just don't feel equipped to do so. Maybe you find it difficult to even pick it up. Maybe if we're honest, much of the Bible still intimidates us. Well, wherever you are, the good news is, this series is for you. Wherever you come, as long as you come interested and open and inquisitive, I think this is a great series that we're going to look at on the Bible. Here's a little introduction from the authors of the series.
The Bible is the most read, loved, and burned book of all time. It's still the world's bestseller, open for anyone to explore. Think of it this way. You're a rancher with a huge piece of land, but instead of fencing it off, you dig wells so all your animals gather round life-giving watering holes. The Bible is not a private book for religious people. It's a divine watering hole, open to everyone, a limitless source of guidance and hope. So how should we imagine the Bible when we open it up or turn it on? Well, firstly, it's a collection of literature. Inside the cover are dozens of books and styles, history, parables, poetry, wisdom, and some pretty bizarre visions. Think of it like a library, organized into two main sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament, with so many subjects to explore. The impact of this literature on our culture is immense. Novels, art, music, sports, and politics have been inspired by the Bible. And yet the Bible doesn't reveal itself to IQ, but to those searching for answers. It's hunger and faith that counts. So the Bible is world-shaping literature. Secondly, it forms one big story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. It starts with the whole cosmos in mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it ends with our world restored to the way it was always supposed to be. It's not a dusty old book. This is our story. The Bible has a center of gravity. It's Jesus Christ. He's the hero, the Messiah, who fulfills Israel's calling and opens up the story to all humanity. We struggle to fix our own problems, let alone society and the environment. But Jesus Christ is the divine author who entered our world to turn it round. So the whole Bible points to Jesus. It's literature, it's story, and finally, it's revelation. Mysterious things happen when people engage with the Bible. Unlike other books, this one reads us when we read it. From the pages of Scripture, a living voice speaks, then calls to us. As the Bible puts it, all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, God didn't write the Bible. He inspired human authors to do that. So it's full of their personalities, history, and culture. But it's ultimately a message from God. Through it, God reveals himself and communicates with us. Now, you may not be convinced, but why not try it on for size? Give the Bible a go and see what happens. At the very least, you will have read the world's bestseller. And who knows, you may discover more than you bargained for.
So that chap is a chap called Andrew Ollerton, who I will speak about briefly later on. And as you can see, he works for the Bible Society. So the Bible, as he was saying, is literature, is story, and it is revelation. And actually, I think we need to get excited about it. The Bible is a book. That's a simple thing, isn't it? We all know that, don't we? But it's more than that. Actually, it's the world's best-selling book. If it was on the list of bestsellers, it would be at the top every week. So they don't put it on the list of bestsellers. I'll give you some example. The Lord of the Rings trilogy has sold 150 million copies in its time it's been around. How many do you reckon the Bible sold? Any guesses? It's in the billions, I'm hearing. It's 5 billion copies, they reckon. And that's, it's glued in things like phones, which have the Bible on these days. That's just physical books. 5 billion would be something. And the word Bible comes from, this is where I get my Greek all wrong, to Biblia. So So that's two things you've got to tell the bishop now. I mean, I'm also now using Greek in sermons, so you can tell the bishop that as well. To Biblia means actually the books, which is a better description of the Bible, isn't it? Because it's a collection of books. He said library, didn't he? He said library, didn't he? To Biblia means books. 40 authors or so, over 1,000 years or so, spoke the words down to the... How many books in the Bible, anyone? 66 books in the Bible. How many in the Old Testament? 39, yes. I should have asked James these questions earlier on, shouldn't I? 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. That's in the Anglican tradition. So, you're saying we should ask Polly?
No, John was saying some people have got an unfair advantage.
For those of you that don't know, Polly is currently training to be clergy, so I always found that was more of a burden than an advantage. But there you go. So. But we heard about different styles of literature, poetry, history, law, biography, all sorts. And of course, you don't read those things in the same way, do you? You wouldn't read, say, the wonderful Psalm 23. You wouldn't read that in the same way you'd read a biography of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. And you wouldn't read the teaching of Jesus in the same way you might read the apocalyptic language in Revelation. You need to put the Bible in the context as you read it, and that's why we gather together to wrestle with the Bible. The Bible is true, but we read it in context. So it's a collection of books. It is literature. It is a book. But we also heard as well, it's our story. It's a human story. Escaping from the normality of life, we become a bigger part of the picture when we read our scriptures. We see God loving us at the beginning from Genesis. In the beginning, God first loved people, didn't he? Revelation, we discover that at the end, God loves people. Of course, it's not the end, but the end of the Bible. And in between, we see all sorts of things going on. We see our story evolve in sin, but God's still loving us. We see denial of God by us. We see Jesus coming. We see, actually, our redemption and rescue on the cross. And of course, it answers the biggest of questions, why are we here? I've given that question to Jill to answer next week if you're interested. It's foundational and solid for us, isn't it? I love the quote from one chap who said, actually, looking at life through the Bible is like looking through a pair of glasses, bringing life into focus. So if you wear glasses, that's a real helpful picture. But the Bible is not only a book, it's not only our story, but it is also, I believe, revelation, a divine message, relevant for today. The Bible is relevant for how we live our lives today. I remember a particularly personal revelation from God through the Bible. It was not long after my father died. My father died of cancer, and thankfully it was a relatively gentle death towards the end. And I did much of my mourning before Dad died. And then when he did die, I stepped into big brother mode and into priestly mode and organised things and got on with the funeral. Like many funerals, we had Psalm 23 there. And I remember that. And then I remember probably 6 months or so later, I was sitting in my office and I thought, oh, I must give the old man a call. I'm sure others have been in a similar situation. There was a wave of sadness. I can feel it now. There was a wave of sadness came over me when I realised I no longer had a father to call, to speak to. And then those words, familiar words from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, came through my mind. I realised it was God using the fact that I'd read the Bible, placed it in my heart, using those words to bring comfort to me. I can't explain how God spoke it. It wasn't audibly, but it might as well have been. It was that strong. And I remember him bringing me peace. And then he spoke to me again as I got his attention, or he got my attention, I should say. And I heard him say, "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." It's hard for me to share that even now because I remember the comfort and peace that brought. And if you know your Bible, you'll know that actually that's a quote of God speaking to Jesus when he's baptized. God says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God had pulled the scriptures out of me into my mind because I'd read the Bible. And he was using them to bring me comfort. Revelation, divine revelation in today. And that is just one example of many. So my friends, my response to my former self, would be this. If I was to stand up and say, really, another series on the Bible, I would say, absolutely, another series on the Bible. Because actually, without the Bible, without the knowledge of who Jesus is, without the Holy Spirit, we're just a self-help group. We're way more than that. With the Bible, with scriptures, with the Holy Spirit, we are way more than just a self-help group. We're bigger than that. Our story is bigger than that, and it's revealed in our Bible. So let me encourage you, if you like books, if you like reading, you might want to get this book, The Bible, A Story That Makes Sense of Life, by Andrew Ollerton, the chap who was on the screen earlier on. He's really easy to read. Susie and I, it looks thicker than it is because it's big words, all right? Susie and I read this in the morning. That, when I say Susie and I, Susie reads it for me, because she's got a nicer voice than me, hasn't she? So, and we just read a chapter a morning. Do you know, it takes 5 minutes. The chapters are short. And you can see how far we are through it now. I'm just loving his overarching description of what the Bible is and the stories that run through it. So grab hold of that if that's your sort of thing. But whatever you do, I'd say come along to these services about the Bible. Because actually, it's part of your story. It's part of who you are. And if you imbibe the Bible, then God can use that for revelation for you as well. If you've never read the Bible, let me suggest you start with one of the Gospels. Now, if you've come here regularly, I would suggest you leave Matthew alone, because you've had enough of Matthew over the last couple of years. For those that haven't been here before, we've gone through the whole of Matthew over the last couple of years. But why not Mark or Luke? They're great ways to read the story of who Jesus is. And if you've never read the Old Testament, why not read Exodus? We're going to be going through Exodus next year. It's a great story of who God is and his continually coming after his people that he loves. Read whole. It's good to read the Bible in snippets, and you might not, often people read a New Testament verse or a New Testament chapter and an Old Testament chapter in the morning. But actually, the Bible was written to be read as books in big chunks and spoken out loud. So I'd encourage you to read books of the Bible together. And then if you have any questions about that, then you can go to Jill. No, you can come. If anything comes up in those questions, you can come to me or Jill or Peter or actually anyone here. Wrestle it out together. What does this really mean? I was puzzled by this in the Bible. Home groups, life groups, they're all good places to do that with. But whatever you do, pick it up. Pick it up and engage with your story, because only by engaging with our story will we live out our story. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.